Anyway.
And in the meantime, your kids are off to school as well?
Yes, yes. My daughters. I had three beautiful daughters. We had three beautiful daughters, I guess. And they all. Well, the oldest one is in Penticton. She has her deli. She's running a deli in Penticton with Attilio. And the middle one is in Surrey. She lives in Surrey, and she has three children. And I'm sorry, she has two children. And my youngest lives on the Sunshine Coast, which is the most gorgeous place in the world to live, right on the water there. And she had two boys, but oh, and a girl, yeah.
And they all went to Burnaby
Oh
schools.
no, well, no, not well. Yes, my daughters did. Yes, of course. Yeah, they well, Moscropped. They didn't go to Burnaby South because we were down in a different. We were sort of in a different area. So what they went to was they went to. Oh, what was the
Mentioned
name?
Sunset Elementary.
Sunset Elementary. Yes, it would be Sun, and then Moscropped Junior.
Moscrop.
Moscropped Junior High, and then they went to Senior High. I think. Was that at Burnaby? Where did they go to Senior High? Seems to me it was Burnaby North or Burnaby South. I'm not quite sure.
Was it Central?
Central.
Central.
Central. You're right. It was the Central. Yes. Yeah. So, anyway, yeah.
And what did you see of the changing world of your children? Did they tap into any of the popular culture of, say, the 50s? Or maybe you did. Do you remember when Elvis first came
Oh,
into
I
the
do. I do remember. I certainly do. I can remember hearing Elvis sing. I can remember the DJ saying, "This is a new singer that's just sweeping the nation and everything else." And he put Elvis on. So I said, "Well, we're gonna sing." But the big singer in my day when I was back in the 50s was Frankie Lane. Oh, Frankie Lane, I had every record of Frankie Lane. I love Frankie Lane. Elvis was kind of, in my world, was kind of a late arrival, more in my later teens.
Was Burnaby a place where you might go to hear a concert or go to a dance, listen to bands?
Yeah, well, the Gay Paree, I think, had a lot of that stuff. And that one that was, I cannot remember the
The
name of it.
Flame,
The
is it?
Flame, yeah, they had that sort of thing, bands and dancing and things. Sort of like more of the nightclub life there, yeah.
Did you go from time to time?
Not too much, no. As a young girl, I used to do the McKay Merchants here when I was in high school. They used to put on a fashion show every year, and I used to model in this model teenage clothes, you know. And I kind of thought that was kind of neat, being a model and going out there and strutting out with these teenage, really neat clothes on and everything. There was a lot of activities happened, like I said, back then. And then after that, well, when my husband, I was married to my husband, he joined the Elks and I joined the Royal Purple. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, it's in looking through old newspapers, there are lots and lots of notices for these fraternal organizations, Elks or Moose or IODE, seem that everyone joined something.
Yes, the Elks, they actually met in the same old hall that I took my dancing lessons in when I was only like 6 years old. Back into this old Jubilee Labor Hall, it was
Why
called.
did people join these groups? What was
I was
the attraction?
I don't know. He liked it. He loved it. He
Was
was
it
very social.
mostly for the
You'd
social
have liked my
aspect?
husband. Men, he was one of these guys that everybody loved on. He was just one of these really neat, great guys.
So mostly for
Great,
this.
great athlete and
Oh yeah.
really very smart.
So the social benefits of joining these
I
groups.
have no idea, other than the social.
I was going to ask you too about the introduction of television, coming from a radio family.
Oh, I gotta tell you this one. This is hilarious. We had a chap living with us called Spud. His name was actually Lawrence Murphy, but he was Spud to everybody. And his parents actually just lived over here. And he was really high up in radio. He was brilliant in radio and in creating them and making them and building them and everything else, not in the broadcasting, of course. Anyway, Spud used to, because my father had a radio repair shop there, and Spud used to go, he got to be friends with my father. Well, when Spud's parents died, he was kind of left alone. He'd never married, so he came to live with us. And he lived, oh, Spud was our boarder. For years and years and years and years, Spud was aboard with us when we lived on Hazel Street there. And Spud, when television became out, Spud, my father and Spud had this great huge workbench. It was like an L. Spud had one part out of the L for his electronic things, because he was all into that. And my father had the other part for woodworking crafts. Well, Spud, as soon as television came on the scene, Spud built a TV in our basement. Now, I'm not talking, this is a 4-inch television screen. There's no case around this. There's nothing but wires and all this stuff. It's in my father's basement. And up on the roof, my father helped him build this great, it looked like a great, big, huge, chicken-wired bow tie.
Oh.
And it was pointed towards Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And it, on a foggy night, we could pick up Seattle on this little tiny 4-inch screen. But to all of us who had never seen television, it was absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. And it got so, all my friends would come over, and we would be down in this my dad's workshop watching this little 4-inch television screen. And I'll always remember one time my father had unplugged his soldering iron, and he had left it on his bench. And this one guy came in, his name was Bruce, big husky guy, and there was no room for him to sit, so he hoisted himself up on my father's workbench. Unfortunately, the soldering iron had cooled down enough so it had lost its glow, but it still had a lot of heat in it. Bruce came off that workbench about 85 miles an hour. I mean, we all went, oh, and all of a sudden Bruce is like, but anyway, yeah, it was, the kids still talk about that times, you know, watching all this fuzzy, snowy thing on them. But Spud, he was very brilliant, very brilliant.
Eventually, I guess, televisions became
Oh, yes, pretty soon everybody had them and, everything else. But that we had one.
Possibly
long
one
before,
of the first televisions
Probably one
in
of the
town.
First televisions in town. Yeah. Oh, yes, because... you know, I don't think any, or if there was any in town, they were so expensive, nobody could afford them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. And there was no local stations. It was all this programming had to come from Seattle, because there wasn't enough televisions, I guess, in Canada to even have a channel too.
Right.
So
when you look out the window now, and you look at your old neighborhood here at McKay and Kingsway.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Oh, wow. Like I said, a lot of the old stores are still there, of course. You know, it's just it's like walking down memory lane when I walk down there. But when I look up this way, I also look, you know, and I remember all the houses that were here, and I remember that there was a big gray building right beside where the tracks were. We had the interurban. That's how our way to back into Vancouver and back again was usually the interurban. And right by the interurban line was a big gray building. I think it was, I don't know what they call that building. And anyhow, we used to have girl guides in there. Or was it CGIT, one or the other? We used to do that in there. And I used to go up and do this girl guide and CGIT thing, whatever it was. Yeah, it was girl guides, I think we used to go to there. And, you know, I think I walk up there now, and I look at this corner, and I think, my God, it's when I see over there. You know, I see huge change.
Mm-hmm. And change in the traffic as well?
Oh, big. Well, yeah. Yes, big changes everywhere. Huge changes. Like I said, the only thing that stayed the same, I guess, is that tiny little one block of Kingsway where all the old shops are.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked down there, and it's like a little trip down memory lane.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody else talk to me one time about all this, and they said, I had gone down there, and I talked to a lot of the merchants that were in there, and I told them what, and this, it was a woman, I believe, and she said, I would love to, take a walk down there with you, and I said, okay. And they were, the merchants were just so nice, you know, they said, of course, you can come in, and, you know, it was a different, same shops, but different people in them, of course. But I remember the one shop that even is where we used to live, even where we used to live on the apartment above the old radio shop. It had changed from an apartment. I don't know what they, I can't remember what the places they were selling. But when I talked to them, they said, oh, and you know, they tried to make that look as much as they could back into what it was like when it was an apartment and things. Mm. Of course, they didn't go out and buy fridges and stoves, but you know, they sort of took all their bookkeeping away and like their bathtub they took. They had bookkeeping in the bathtub, I think, in there. And they sort of tried to make it look as homey as they could, mm-hmm. being as it was still a business. I really appreciated that. I thought mm-hmm. it was sweet of them to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're still there or not.
Great. Well, you've seen a lot of changes, I'm sure, during your
huge changes.
Life in this area.
Oh, huge, huge changes. Just big changes, yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing some of your memories of,
well,
of
it's,
the early
it's,
part. Of
yes. Well, it's funny because, like I said, I started here. Then I spent most of my life by the Burnaby Hospital. Then after retirement, when Don retired, when he had to retire because of his heart, we moved back up here. And I said, now, good heavens, I'm back in my right back in my old stomping ground
mm-hmm.
where I started.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's not too many people can say that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They go right back to where?
No.
Great. Another cute story I have to tell you.
Sure.
There used to be a little hairdresser called Miss Boyd's Hair Salon. It was just on McKay Avenue here. And I can remember one time, I guess I was about 6 years old or something, and I said, came home, and I said to my dad, I said, oh, where's Mommy? And he says, oh, he says, Mommy's at Miss Boyd's Hair Salon, getting her hair permed. Well, I didn't know what perm was. So I said, okay, but I knew Miss Boyd's. So I go tromping down our lane, and I go into Miss Boyd's. Well, in those days, hair perms were done with these, like, electronic things they put on your head that were wires going up into the, which looked like a big, well, it looks like a hairdryer, the old-fashioned hairdryers, you know, the big,
mm-hmm.
big metal bonnet type things. Or I think it was like that. But anyhow, all these wires were sort of going up into this machine up there. Well, for a six-year-old, it freaked me out. I mean, I thought my mother was being electrocuted. Oh, dear. Anyway.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much, Kay.
Yay. Well, I'm glad to share. It's a lot of memories.